Hi, everyone. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to take a moment to address the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the right to have a safe and legal abortion. Abortion is a basic healthcare need for the millions of people who become pregnant. Everyone should have the freedom to decide what's best for themselves and their families, including when it comes to ending a pregnancy. This decision has dire consequences for individual health and safety and could have harsh repercussions for other landmark decisions. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. Even if you live in a state where abortion rights are upheld, access to safe medical abortions shouldn't be determined by location, and it shouldn't be the privilege of a small few. You can help by donating to local abortion funds. To find out where to donate for each state, visit donationsforabortions.com. That's the number 4. If you or someone you know needs help, or if you want to get more involved, here are 5 resources. 1. Shout Your Abortion is a campaign to normalize abortion. 2. Don't Ban Equality is a campaign for companies to stand against abortion restrictions. 3. Abortion.cafe has information about where to find clinics. 4. PlanCPills.org provides early at-home abortion pills that you can keep in your medicine cabinet. And 5. Choice.crd.co has a collection of these resources and more. I encourage you to speak up. Take care and spread the word.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price, Priceline.
It also holds teeth, remember? Teeth are good.
You know what? I need these teeth to talk.
Yeah,
you
need teeth to talk.
You need teeth. It's hard to talk without teeth.
Forget about a house or a home. Who cares about a home? What you need is good teeth. Good teeth, and you're set for life. Who needs shelter or food or clothing? Teeth.
I hit record like mid-wheezing laughing. Cause this is what people tune in for.
Yeah, it's two seconds in and you're already wheezing.
It's to hear me losing my shit. Arti.
I am so exhausted. I've had an interesting couple of days.
Yeah, so I did let the Instagram followers know that you had come across an unidentifiable gummy at the bottom of your purse. You have no idea what the dosage was. You don't know.
I truly thought it was a fruit gummy that my doctor said. My daughter carries all this. I'm like, this must be old. Must be a couple of years old. It's lying there. Oh, she must have put it in my purse and one of them escaped from the bag.
So you thought, let me eat it?
No, I was cleaning out. I was moving things from my old purse into my brand new purse.
Ooh.
And it's not ooh.
Did you get the diamond studded Birkin? No. $25,000 bag?
No, I'm more like Garcelle. I looked at all of them and then I found one. in Target that looked like the expensive ones, and I got that. But yeah. Essentially, I was moving things out and I was like cleaning it out and I was like finding like safety pins and like old wrappers and you know how you have stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I found a gummy and I was like, oh, a gummy. And I just popped it in. And then 20 minutes later, I was digging for food in the refrigerator and laughing out loud at Wolf Blitzer talking about Trump. And I was like, why am I laughing? And that's when I hear. That's when I realized, oh, wait. Oh, okay. I should sit still. And that's what I did. And wow. I was mixing gummies and medication. So it was like, you know, at least I was more aware than Erica Janus. But
you didn't tell Bella or oh my God.
I did not call Rena and tell her. I definitely did not tell, Kyle. So I know that the next time I meet with her, Kyle is going to bring it up. And just
I wanted to know, did you tell Bella and Harold to get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, Harold was trying to take the flowers out, which he shouldn't.
Are you so exhausted by Beverly Hills already?
I am. I'm exhausted by Bravosphere in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why Atlanta doesn't seem to be moving much.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited for Marlo to be back full time and all that. But it seems to have hit a snag. It's almost going back into the pandemic episodes of Atlanta where nothing
happening. No, I actually love Atlanta right now. I'm having so much fun with Atlanta. I am. But
that's why I need to talk to you about it. Because I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, here we go. Another event and nothing's happening. And nothing's happening.
I just love like the silly shade. And
I have to say that Sonia is the first housewife ever who came into her first season and blended in seamlessly.
Mm. Yeah.
I think she has done a good job of her first year. I mean, you don't feel when she's talking and stirring shit and she's already, you know, she's already dropped Drew, the person who brought her on and all that. I feel like Sonia is at least, she feels like she belongs there. She doesn't feel like an add-on.
Maybe. Yeah. So she came on. Sonia came on. She dropped Drew.
Yeah.
She crawled up Kenya and Candy's butt.
Uh-huh.
Then she crawled up Sheree and Marlo's butts.
Uh-huh.
And kind of backstabbed Kenya.
Yeah.
And now she's
like Kenya's go-to, right? Like everybody who can interact with Kenya at some point backstabs Kenya. That's her life's story.
I know. Justice for my twirl.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love Atlanta because it's just so fun to watch Drew like try so hard and then everybody just like laughs at her. Like that crazy bitch Fatoum. Yeah. I wish that she was still on because she's like what Marlo used to be.
Yeah, she's like a little bit. She's like what Marlo used to be. And she has that high-pitched voice that Heavenly has that, you know, that pierces through any other conversation that might be happening.
Yeah.
And even if she's not in frame, you hear her. So the cameraman is forced to focus on her.
Yeah.
She's magical. She's magical. We need to preserve
her. She was invited to not return because apparently in Blue Ridge, she went through Drew's stuff.
She
took Drew's purse and hid it and then was going through it. And she was like making Drew like walk around all over the house, look for her bag. And she thought it was hilarious. But then Drew was like, I feel unsafe with this person.
Candy did the same thing to Kyle. And
that's
everybody
right.
said, laugh, laugh, ha ha. But what? Fatoum cannot do that?
Crazy. Crazy as Fatoum. I miss her. She's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, she's just nuts enough to be interesting in the show.
Atlanta needs that. Like, they had the Marlo. They had that bitch Yovana from Clark.
That bitch Yovana. Yes.
You know, we need that. Like,
Atlanta needs it because some of the older players, not by age, but by, you know, more original players, they already know all the games that each other will play. So they're like very carefully tiptoeing around it or getting over it quickly and not, you know,
yeah,
giving enough. They're not really, you know, interacting with them and engaging. Then yeah. There's the newbies like Marlo, who's trying too hard to be not the usual Marlo. Like, she has more depth. And I do want to hear more about what's happening with her, you know, the kids and all of that. But really, it's tiresome right now. For me, it's like Atlanta. It's like, oh, yeah, Atlanta is also on. That's how I'm watching it. Because Married to Medicine is on. Wow. And what I'm watching. And then I realize, oh, yeah, Atlanta is not done yet. So that's watching Atlanta. It's a secondary thought to Married to Medicine.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why we have Below Deck on, like, every other night, but we don't have Family Karma back yet or Potomac back yet.
Right?
What the hell?
Is coming back September, middle of September, I heard. But why isn't Family Karma back?
Yeah, like, I feel like all the weddings happened, like, 2 years ago. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What the hell?
Know. And it's like, they must be getting ready for, you know, in other franchises, they would be getting ready for a divorce. And this one, they probably have a kid by now.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
The aunties would have made them have a kid.
Yes, exactly. Okay, well, let's talk about Rehouses of Beverly Hills first. I didn't record last week because...
What?
I didn't feel like it.
Oh.
You were supposed to be on.
I know.
You fell asleep. I was at Rails. I came back.
You were trying to... You were at the wrong... location for the right party or whatever it was.
The rehearsal
dinner. But it was at some other place.
It was a place next to my house.
Oh, you could have looked over your window.
I could have been like, yoo-hoo. I could have been like Patrick from Old Lady Gang and been like, yeah, you could rent out my driveway to park here.
I know.
I'll do valet.
You could have seen the nest of a hair from your kitchen.
I know. No, that was – I don't think the nest was there wedding. At the rehearsal. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but so then everybody – all this stuff started happening with Teresa's wedding, and I was just like, I don't have time to record. Anyway, all this stuff started happening with Teresa's wedding, and I was just, like, so overwhelmed. I was like, I don't feel like recording. And honestly, like, last week, Beverly Hills, not a lot happened, and the whole conversation with, like, Crystal – and the way – the conversation about Crystal and the way they started talking about her eating disorder,
yeah,
I thought was so fucking disturbing that I was like, I know that if I start talking about it, it's going to end up making me cry again. Oh, and I didn't want to deal with that.
I know.
I'm fine now, but I – like, these are – I know the thing is, the shtick is that nobody is a good person on Bravo. Mm-hmm. But these people are the thing that's really annoying about Beverly Hills women, and specifically these women, is that they're not good people, and they put on the front like they are concerned, and that is really, really frustrating because you can literally see the cackling in Kyle Richards' face when she's doing this shit.
Kyle and Rinna, you can see it. It's like they get off of it. And Kyle especially. Kyle and Mauricio too. They are
Mauricio,
like getting...
Oh, yeah.
Mauricio's getting ew by the day.
Yes.
He's turning into a creepy old man.
He's... You know what? In the words of NeNe Leigh, you have to stay out of woman's business. Okay? Right? I don't need you piping in from the corner, Mauricio. Get out of here.
Yeah,
okay? And how about you stop ogling Dorit, who does look amazing.
Or ranking women's body. Like, what if PK and Mauricio ranking the women? Like, who would you – like, what?
It was so weird. It was so fucking creepy. There was, like, nothing nice about it. If my – first of all, if one of my friend's husbands asked my husband that question, he would be like, we're not engaging in this conversation. Are you nuts? What is – you.
My husband would silently slide away from that person and come and just me like, let's get out. This place is creepy. That guy is creepy. Save me. That's how he would be.
Yes. Okay. But all right. So last week, that's basically how that happened. Rinna got drunk and screamed at everyone. So Rinna's antics this episode and last episode, she blames on grieving.
Okay. Can I say something? And if you think this is inappropriate, you should take it out of the podcast because you know I don't have a filter. And I sometimes don't know how to gauge public reaction, but you might get cancer. I laughed my way through the entire scene of Rinna crying.
Me too. Okay. Let's disclaimer. Okay, let's disclaimer. I'm not taking that out. Let's disclaimer this, okay? Rinna's mother passing is very sad. It is very sad.
I loved her mother.
Lois was the best thing that happened to Lisa Rinna. Okay.
Lisa Rinna is probably not the best thing that happened to Lois. That's how I feel about it.
Yes. Lois is the best thing that happened to Lisa Rinna. She was the most she was the most fun part of Lisa. She was so sweet.
Anything good in Lisa probably came from Lois.
Exactly. So Lois, love her. So sad that she died the way she died. It's very tragic. All of those things are true. But when Lisa Rinna is crying at that table, here's the thing. I don't know if these women are just Botoxed to the nines so hard that they need to contort their face like a pretzel to get one single tear to come out.
Nothing came out. Lisa Rinna's tear for the bunny moment was bigger and more significant than anything that came out of her face yesterday when she was crying over her mom.
Yes, thank you. I agree. And that's the thing.
It was like, what is she doing? I was like, literally, she crying? Is that crying? Is she an actress? She couldn't cry?
What is happening? It was bad soap opera stuff.
Yeah. And then all of the others were either shocked or they were also crying. But even them, each one of them had one tear each. They couldn't, none of them. And to think that Kyle, anytime you mention a mom, you know how Kyle gets, oh, my mom too. And she immediately.
Yeah.
Even Kyle didn't cry.
Yeah. Kathy was just cried.
Kathy cried. But again, one tear. Everybody went into the corner like Candace Dillard and just tapped over there and just wiped one tear off.
I'm going to argue that we've seen more tears out of Candace Dillard in her tenure in Potomac than we've seen come out of Lisa Rinna's eyeballs in that scene.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I have a ton of sympathy and empathy for her when it comes to losing her parent because I am slowly in the process of losing my parent. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen one of these days because he's very ill. You've lost a parent. Mm-hmm. I know that this is an extremely sad thing, and I know that you can mismanage your grief,
yes,
but this woman just sat around and talked casually over wine about Crystal's eating disorder and how she needs to go and get help, professional help, and why is she posting about it on Instagram but then not doing anything about it? Why is she sitting around and talking about
and then Dorit saying she throws up on camera?
Yes. And then
oh my God.
Erica acting so shocked by it. Meanwhile, she was just giving Crystal tips on how to perform other side bulimia.
Yeah.
So it's like all you women are sitting around acting like the rules don't apply to you and acting like the sympathy is only reserved for you. Yeah. We are only allowed to have feelings of sympathy and empathy when you are vulnerable. But when anybody else is vulnerable, it's met with cynicism. It's met with critique. It's met with judgment. It's met with I don't know. What is this really about? Even her snapping at Sutton and being like, why did you do it? Why did you do that? Why did you come to Garcelle's defense about the sauce? Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. It's like, well, why do you do anything that you do on the show? Why did you do what you did to Denise? How about that?
Right. Why did you do what you did to Lisa Rinna when she was mourning her brother?
And Lisa Vanderpump. Yeah.
Vanderpump. Sir, right.
Yeah. 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 Wait,
what? That doesn't matter. And the person who brought it up is Kyle. Kyle, the shitster, who thinks that she's executive producing the show. And Sutton and Garcelle said, no, we are right. Dorit, in fact, even corroborated that. But, Kyle
wasn't enough for Kyle.
That wasn't enough for Kyle. And she made a shit show of Dorit's charity dinner, basically.
Yes. Exactly.
That was horrible. With Melissa Etheridge behind the table, behind the curtain, or wherever she was sitting, The poor woman.
She was like, do not come to my window. I will not wait on the side of the moon. Okay?
She must have been like, what the fuck did I sign up for?
She's like, this British weirdo, Boy George's friend, somehow wrangled me into doing this.
She got dazzled by PK's new teeth. That's what happened. Like, she found out that PK was no longer homeless because he got better, good teeth.
Wait. Also, when Dorit is talking about homeless, not toothless, and she says Sharon Stone is on the board, and Sharon Stone used to be my neighbor, and Sharon Stone told me to get involved. I was thinking to myself, like, well, Dorit, we know that PK had bad teeth, and we know that you guys have financial issues, so were you guys about to be homeless and toothless? Right. Is that why Sharon
Stone told you about it? Did you get those new teeth through that charity? Is that why you are doing this?
Diana is like, I grew back my wisdom teeth. Ma'am, I don't know what the hell she's talking about, ever. What is she says the thing, Diana, and then she's like,
Diana, check breath. Your molars. Maybe your dentist, for charity dentist, took out your molars instead of your wisdom teeth.
And I'm shocked that Kathy didn't say anything about how she has experience doing dental work.
Maybe that's why Kathy was so excited about this. I forgot all about that. Kathy was an aspiring dentist. Oh my god!
Like, there's probably somebody homeless out there who Kathy Hilton once did dental work for, and that is why they are toothless.
Yeah.
Homeless, not toothless. And then this guy, Jay Grossman, apparently casually has a bunch of kids that he doesn't know. Like,
is he? Wasn't there a Netflix? I have to look it up. But wasn't there a Netflix thing about somebody who like was like had donated and had like 100 kids or something like that?
Yes, I don't think he's a guy. But there's also a Law and Order SVU episode. I remember this because John Stamos.
Yes. Yes. Oh my god, that was a good episode.
It was such a good episode. Oh. Is this that guy? Like, what?
His name is happening? Grossman. He's a Grossman.
That is great. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh my god, so many connections. But I was thinking, like, you know, not being anti-dentite or anything, but this this whole dentist, homeless but not too toothless. Stop.
You almost died. Okay? The water almost went down the wrong pipe.
And I was forgetting what I was going to say. You laugh so much.
I don't mean to be anti-dentist.
I love that phrase from Seinfeld.
So good.
I use it all the time that I don't like going to the dentist. I'm anti-dentite. But so Kathy was the one who was very excited about this. You know, and so I hope Kathy donated a lot of money and made Sharon Stone happy.
It's just,
that is a perfect charity for Kathy to get involved in, not for Dorit. This is a Kathy. Kathy could have, like, she could go volunteer. She could put a little, you know, thread into people's tooth, pull it out, close the door, pull it out, do some tooth pulling.
Yeah.
She could do all of that and enjoy it thoroughly. She didn't know who Melissa Etheridge was. She's like, who's that?
Yeah, she's...
And apparently she was on Watch What Happens Live.
Oh my god, did you watch the clip? It's...
No.
Okay, Arthi, it's horrible.
Really?
It's horrible.
Oh my god.
They ask her who Lizzo is and she says Precious. And Crystal's sitting next to her, and everybody loses it.
Yeah.
Crystal's like, no, it's because Lizzo is precious to Kathy. It's because Lizzo is precious to Kathy. No. She's like really trying to help her out. Yeah. And it was like Judge Mathis, the judge.
Yeah.
With the he has a reality TV show. His son was behind the bar with his fiance.
Okay.
And the two black men. And everybody was just like losing it. Like it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's very racist. Like, and like,
but also, why is Andy asking her these questions? He's like, he's also setting her up, right?
Exactly.
Kathy, it's like, you know, getting there in her age too. I think she is. Yes, she's racist, but also she is clueless.
Yes. So it's like you're not just racist, you're now becoming senile, and then now you're a senile racist. And it's like, it's just bad. She's on social media today saying that she didn't have her glasses on, her vision is really bad, and she like can't tell people. She's probably going to be like, I'm face blind, like Brad Pitt. Like, she's probably going to say some bullshit like that. But it was
Brad Pitt said he's face blind? What's face blind? Can I claim it? Because I don't recognize half the people that I meet.
Yes, so that's the thing. Okay. He says that he can't remember people's like faces, so that he could pretend like that's why he doesn't remember people. It's because he can't remember their faces. Anyway, like, so did Kathy say the shit she said in Aspen? Yeah, probably. But like, none of this is surprising. It's just like, it's weird for Bravo to take this person who is pretty beloved right now, right? Mm-hmm. And like, they love Kathy Hilton. They love having her on the show. It's like so fun. They like Paris Hilton's mother's on the show. Like, it's such a big deal. And then you have her come on, and sure, they're not pulling her, they're not forcing her to be racist, but they're putting her in a situation where she could possibly say something extremely inappropriate. I mean, she, when she met Cherie for the first time, she was like, oh my God, how long has it been since we met?
And she was like, we've never met.
We've never met, because you probably confused her with another Black woman. So it's like, I'm not surprised. I'm also confused, because I think Bravo thinks it's funny, but I think for a lot of Black people, a lot of people of color, it's very triggering to be like, okay, yeah, this white lady is confusing one Black woman with another Black woman. And we've all been there before, where we are interchangeable as people of color with other people of color.
Don't be on TV. You are in situations like this, and you shouldn't be.
Yeah. And also, I think you do this shit all the time. I mean, Kyle called a woman who's probably been working with Kathy for like 20 years that lady.
Yes.
So like, of course, these are the people that they are. Yeah. Okay, so this eating disorder and Erica's drinking thing, it's like, it's wild, because like I said, I think that they're more they seem to be more upset about the fact that she's open about her eating disorder and then not doing anything about it than Erica getting drunk and just saying, like, it's weird. It's like Erica's doing all the things that are inappropriate and acting like somebody who is abusing their medication and alcohol and acting out and being offensive and being hurtful. But because she says, I don't have a problem, it's okay. Right. But because Crystal, who when she meets them is lovely and pleasant, but also says, yes, I personally struggle with my eating disorder. Right. That's more annoying to them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
Why. No, but I don't even understand why it's annoying to them. Why? Erica's claim is that certain and Garcelle, and they are not really concerned about her drinking. They just want to come for her.
Yeah.
But somehow what they do with Crystal is not about, it's about concern. And it's not about just coming for Crystal and using her as a storyline, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, why would one be concerned and the other not?
Mm-hmm. And because it's the same thing with sympathy and empathy for Rinna. Right, it's like it only applies to them. When it's anybody else, it's different. It's always a different
motive. Garcelle has a reason for bringing it up, because she wouldn't have brought it up if you didn't go after her son like that.
So you accosted her son, yeah.
Yeah, you're losing your shit because of drinking. Is affecting Garcelle's life, which is why she's bringing it up and being concerned. So she should be concerned about it.
Yeah.
And you should be glad that she's only concerned about it and not mad about it.
That's right.
And I don't think they understand the difference, because with Crystal, both Garcelle and Sutton are not bringing it up with Crystal until Rinna and everybody else brought it up. They're like, it's Crystal's issue. This is private. We'll wait for her to bring it up in a group setting, and then we'll talk to her about it. But we are not going to bring it up because she hasn't brought it up. And what is happening with her is not affecting us and our kids.
Yeah.
But what Erica is doing is affecting their party. She's misbehaving in their party, at their charities, in front of the kids and accosting their kids. You don't get to have a good time because you've had a lot of bad time in the near past. And so you want to loosen up. You don't get to loosen up at the cost of my child.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And right. you should be fucking glad that I don't bring that up. And instead, I'm couching it as concern for your mental health.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. And then for even last episode when Erica was like, oh, you know, you always clean up Sutton's mess. Well, what do you think everybody's been doing for you, Erica, for the last two seasons?
Right? You guys are all cleaning up each other's mess all the time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not just Erica's mess. Dorita's cleaning up Kyle's mess. Kyle is making a mess in everybody else and then pretending to clean up too.
It's annoying.
Kyle is the most annoying. I hate Kyle so much.
So much.
She's the worst. I hate her.
A quick note about
wait for her to be off of Beverly Hills. I hope she doesn't get brought back on. And I hope her Hulu show sucks.
Yeah, I hope so too. I have a quick question. Okay, so there's a scene about with Diana and Asher, and they're talking about the next time that they're going to try to have another baby.
Mm-hmm.
It was the weirdest, most loveless exchange I've ever seen in my life. It was so weird. They sat on opposite ends of the couch talking about when the next time she would like to try to have another baby.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously talking about like.
I have a feeling that the dynamic. So there's some parallels between Asher and Diana's relationship and Sergio and Caroline Stanbury's relationship,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The younger man, not as well off, married to very well off women, older women
mm-hmm.
who have older kids.
Yep.
And one of them wants more kids, Diana wants more, Stanbury doesn't care. But the younger men don't seem to have a lot of say in what's happening. So it's a different kind of dynamic where they are the Gretchen Rossi of this relationship.
That's right. Yes.
Right. So they don't have much to say. They are supposed to look pretty and be there as emotional support and not really have any contribution. So I don't think Asher has any. I think the way their relationship works or the way it is arranged or there must have been a prenup and everything, I think the way it works is that Asher has no say. They probably have embryos and she's going to have them whether Asher is around or not.
Well,
so he's like, let me listen to you talk because all he cares about is how she's going to fund his music business.
That's right. That's music really career. His baby.
Yeah.
So Sergio and Stanbury, at least I see some love between them. Like, I think that Sergio drives Stanbury crazy, but yeah. I think that there's like a genuine love and appreciation
definitely
from
Sergio's part. Yeah.
Definitely from Sergio. And definitely, even though he like gets under her skin, I think she enjoys his antics as annoying as they are.
Yeah.
Right.
He's the equivalent of a gay friend for her, but with benefits of sex. She's like,
right. So, but with Asher and Diana, that was such a cold conversation about the fact that she had this very traumatic miscarriage and when she thinks she's going to start again. And them talking about it almost felt like a schedule between assistants, right?
Of like, yeah, like he's her assistant and she's going over the business plans.
Yes.
Yes.
It was very
like an office meeting, like staff meeting. That's how it felt.
It was. It felt like a meeting between like Erica and Mikey.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But even that has more, I think there's more emotions there than this one. I think I don't see any emotions in Diana other than she reminds me a little bit of Melania Trump. I don't know why.
Yeah, she does. It's
like she has a constant smile plastered on her face and you don't really know what she's thinking, what's real. And she keeps talking about how she's such a badass, how she's very rough, how she is like so strong. I don't see that anywhere. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
You are not a street fighter, ma'am. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, she's like, I'm confrontational. That's my fit. You know, that's something I'm an expert at. No, you cried because Sutton told you to stay in your lane at a dinner. Yeah. What are you talking about that you're confrontational? And then you've been passive aggressive to her the whole time afterwards.
Passive aggressiveness is not confrontational.
No, it's the exact opposite.
You're annoying for sure, but it's not. Yeah, you're afraid of confrontation. What are you talking about?
It's so
I don't
weird.
Get it. I don't. And she makes it a point on every episode. She claims that she used to beat up somebody. She had a hard life in Serbia. Bosnia. She had this. She had that. But I don't see any evidence of it in this, Diana. She's like, oh, he softened me up. I don't see you soft either. I see you cold and detached.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, okay, I know that she was poor until she was 20, it sounds like. And then after 20, she got filthy, filthy rich. Now, here's the thing. While I believe that your childhood very much molds you and we're all, like, working through our inner child shit.
Right.
If you've been wealthy for a majority of your life and you basically grew up as a rich person, you can't really claim the I was rough and tumble teenager anymore, in my opinion. Okay. Yeah. Like, I can't – like, it's just – I can't stand her.
I think whatever, but I don't see evidence of it. I don't see any effect of it. You can claim whatever because I have – you know, everybody has trauma from childhood that you cannot put a timeline on it and say you have to get over it. But at the same time, I think what I'm saying is any of her behavior and whatever she's doing with her husband, in her private, with the kids, I don't see any warmth. I see something very artificial. Even when she's dealing with the kids, it's very artificial. I don't find any warmth in how she deals with. I thought Yolanda had more warmth than she does. And I used to think Yolanda is very cold.
Oh, yeah. I loved Yolanda. We never talked about this. I loved Yolanda. Her clear fridge and her lemon trees and her hello, my love, and telling her daughter to just eat 4 almonds and shut the fuck up. See, back then I liked Yolanda because I didn't know that I had an active eating disorder. So I was like, whatever. She told her daughter to stop eating. What's the big deal?
Like I wish my mother would tell me to do that.
No, my mom tells me to do that all the time. I just don't listen. Okay. All right. Let's talk about, speaking of Stanbury, let's go to Dubai. What do you think about what's going on in Dubai? The big things that happened in the last two episodes is this like continuation of fighting between Sarah and Caroline
Brooks.
Okay.
As much
as
I love Sarah in the first episode, I hate Sarah. No. Hate her.
Massive nosedive. Like the fastest nosedive.
Like you are such an immature, spoiled brat who has no idea. She's just spewing, self-help book, whatever snippet. Toxic positivity without any context or even an understanding. She thinks if she says that and she comes in like, just because you think you went through some trauma and you might have and you overcame it does not mean that every woman went through the same trauma or trauma at all. Just because Caroline Brooks says that my mother was militant doesn't mean that she's against militancy, upbringing. Yeah. That's not a trauma for her to get over. So stop saying you can get over it. You can grow out of it when nobody is complaining that they are traumatizing. The only person who has actually talked about having had childhood trauma is Chanel.
Yes.
And no one is paying attention to her. Sarah could talk to her. Sarah did talk to her, but Sarah preached to her.
Yes.
But she's the one with the real trauma that she talks about. But Caroline Brooks went through a bad divorce, okay? Yeah. And her husband cheated, was probably mean, was probably
abusive. And abused her,
Which is fine, but that's not the trauma that you are talking about, Sarah. You're talking about her childhood trauma that she didn't have.
You had
childhood trauma. Don't project into other people. And she keeps saying every time she has this authoritative way of talking, like obviously aristocrat, privilege. So she talks about it as, I'm going to give her an opportunity to apologize. Give her an opportunity to make up for that. Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if I'm granting you the opportunity to apologize to me. So you should be thankful.
She's so full of shit. Like, I'll never forget that she was talking about therapy and she said, I've done all kinds of therapy. I've done hypnotherapy, radiotherapy. I was like, why did you get radiation?
Nose.
Why did you get radiation, Sarah? Like, what do you mean you had radiotherapy? Huh?
I don't know. She's crazy. She's
and then
nuts.
She's I hate the way she's
and she thinks she's well informed.
Yeah, she sits on a chair in her confessional with her arms like out and like with her body back in this like very aristocratic, like I know it all shit. Yeah. Like she's 30, like not to, like look, I'm 37. It's not like she's so much. I'm like so old. I'm 30. She's 34.
It's not about being ageist. It's about having the experience and
exactly. But she
haven't had that. You have.
She's 34 years old.
Life.
Yeah, she's 34 years old. She's filed 2 bankruptcies. The only thing we've ever heard about her is that she had a business. She started doing her business when she was 14 years old. She tells the same damn story every other episode. She talks about how she sold something.
If my dad was an aristocrat in Dubai, I would also.
Yeah, exactly.
I put all the money in the world to do whatever I wanted at 14.
And then she talks about her divorce. Last episode, she said that she got married when she was 25 or 26, and then she was divorced, and the guy, she did everything for the guy, and he didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I don't know which marriage she's talking about, because in 2019, she got married a second time to this dork from New Jersey that I know about.
What?
My friend's hairdresser went for her wedding.
That's the door.
Yeah, no. It wasn't him. It was this Pakistani guy from like this area who went to the UAE, conned her into getting married, was like a complete con artist, but ended up getting some money out of her and business opportunities. Right. And then they ended up getting a divorce. I only know this because my friend's hairdresser, my friend knows this family. I know a couple people that know this family. And my friend's hairdresser went to Dubai for the wedding. But listen.
Look at you getting all the boots on the ground info.
Boots on the ground, baby. But like my point is, like Sarah, for somebody who sits around and talks about like, you need to be positive, honey. And like, you need to be kind. And, you know, your traumas and your triggers and all this stuff. You don't ever hear her talk about any of her own stuff, right?
And then
she never talks about her own triggers, right? She on Twitter, she tweeted that Chanel Ayan was a Debbie Downer because she always brings people down with all of her stuff. But when she tries to talk to people, then when Sarah tries to give Chanel advice, then she's preachy. Get the hell out of here. I'm like, so you asked Chanel to share about her childhood. Mm-hmm. Now you're calling her a Debbie Downer. Go fuck yourself. Okay. Right. And then as a PhD, ma'am, I haven't even talked to you about this.
Wait.
As a PhD holder. PhD? No, listen to me.
I have one.
As a doctor.
Yes.
As a doctor with a proper doctorate, what are your thoughts about somebody with an honorary doctorate in women's empowerment, whatever the fuck that means?
Some honorary doctorates are worth it. Some others are not. Some honorary doctorates are to honor somebody for having done the work, but not having the degree. So you give them the doctorate.
What is it? But what do you think about her calling herself Dr. Sarah Al-Madani?
I have strong feelings about it, and I think she shouldn't call herself that just as much as I shouldn't say I'm a doctor on a flight.
Yeah.
I cannot save you from a heart attack. I can tell you why it happened. I can do a blood analysis, and I can tell you why it happened. I can give you all of that, but I cannot save your ass. So
Sarah can't even do that.
Yeah.
She can't even do that. She cannot save your ass.
She's a doctor on the flight. I bet she stays there.
100%.
Right?
100%. Okay.
Probably like if someone's having a heart attack, she's probably saying think positive to them.
And then when they're doing
this trauma.
Okay, this stupid like trip they went on, right? It was fine. It looked fabulous. It looked lovely. But then Caroline Stanberry is so excited to take them to a wave thing that's at like Great Wolf Lodge and the Kalahari Resorts. I was like, this is the big surprise?
I had a question about that. They went on a trip, but the trip was within UAE, right? They went to a place within UAE. But then when Caroline Brooks was talking to her son, she's like, I just woke up, but call me when you come back from school. So did she just wake up and it's late in the middle of the day to give leave a message? I was like, is there a time difference? What is this?
No,
what is
happening here? I think she just woke up late.
Oh, okay. That confused me a little bit. I'm like, your son is in school. What do you do? What? How is this a time difference? But then, the wave runner thing that was like weird. And it's like, okay, I can understand how you have to have an indoor ski slope because it doesn't snow there. But I'm guessing that they don't have high waves there either in the water, or they cannot have outdoor stuff like that. And so they have to have it indoor for...
But it was outdoors.
It was outdoors, but it wasn't like in the public water? I don't know.
It was such like a strange setup. But she acted as if she was going to take them like... zip lining and jumping off a waterfall. I was like, she was like, these girls are going to lose their mind. They're going to lose it. It's going to be so fun to watch them fall. I'm like, so that's nothing happened.
That's the part that is bothering me from the beginning. Caroline Stanbury keeps presenting parts of Dubai that should not be as amazing to her. Because I am sure she has actually... done the real thing. She has done the real skiing in the Alps. Yes. And done. She's probably, you know, surfed in the best surfs around Hawaii or wherever. Australia, wherever. So I feel like she must have experienced the real thing. So why is she being so enthusiastic and almost, she's like gushing about these, you know, it almost feels like these are like, not even, you know, instead of going, like you go and shop at the mall here and you shop at Saks Fifth Avenue, but now you're gushing about a strip mall.
Yes. It's like if like on Potomac, you know, Karen was like, I'm going to take you to a fabulous place where you could buy everything you want. Everything in the world is available to you. And she just like takes you to White Marsh Mall.
Yes, but also that would happen with Karen, and it would be exactly what Robin and Giselle expect from her too.
Yeah,
we are going. But with Caroline Stanbury, I'm like, why are you gushing about these experiences, which are nothing? The experience of her kids going into the basement of this hotel and looking through the thing and looking at the guy swimming over and putting like, welcome, Stanbury and your kids, and I'm like. So that guy can see into the bedroom and he could be there lurking.
Yeah. It was, and the guy was like, there in front of the bathtub. Why are you amazed
by an underground, like, I am not amazed
an underwater peep show.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that she is gushing about this.
I'm gushing about an underwater peep show.
Yeah. What is so great? And she's like, oh, we are going to this place in whatever that place was that she took them to. And she's like, it's going to be so good. And then all the women are so excited about going. I was like, are you not allowed to go there by the regime? I mean, and is that why you're – or is it too expensive even for you guys to go there?
Well, here's the thing. The place was beautiful. It was a beautiful place. And she
said it was $50,000 a day. So maybe it is too expensive even for the ladies to go. So this is like –
yeah, and then for the women to be able to, like, bike to the beach. Like, and the other thing you should know in the UAE is these islands that they go to are man-made islands. Right. These are not natural islands. So which is, like, reason 157 for why I am never into the idea of visiting Dubai is because I feel like everything is fake anyway. Yeah. So, like, I think I get it that the whole show is being kind of allowed because they're using it as – tourism promotion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just so ridiculous to watch Caroline Stanbury gush over a wave runner, like a wave machine. And then
the rooms. The rooms weren't anything special.
They were fine. But then Sarah also, she gets on there and she's like, I'm very adventurous and I'm very rebellious. But, you know, this was a completely like a lifetime of an experience or something like that. I was like, What? My kids do this every single time we go to Kalahari. What are you talking about? It happens at the Jersey Shore. Like, what is this?
And that's the point. It's not that it's Yes, if somebody in the UAE or even in India, if a common person said this was something that was amazing, you would understand because they wouldn't have access to it. These women are rich and they travel all the time, so they must have seen and experienced all this elsewhere.
Yeah.
But here they're acting as if that's the best thing ever that they have ever done. It's kind of weird. The driving through the desert that she did with Caroline Brooks.
Yeah.
And she goes and she does the picnic and she's talking to her. It was like, okay, so you go into the desert and you ride your bike.
Like that I thought was cool because ATVing in the desert is a thing. It's really fun, right? Yeah. And it was cute that they did a little picnic. I thought that was fine. But just this wave runner was truly one of the most perplexing things I've ever seen in my life because she really, really acted like it was going to blow their minds. Mm. And it was so basic. It was the most basic thing I've ever seen. Okay. Caroline Brooks is really confusing me because when they're playing Never Have I Ever, her lie is that she has three kids, right? Her three things she says is, I have three kids, I dated a president-elect, and I got a multi-million dollar settlement from my divorce.
Yeah.
And her lie is that she has three kids.
So she did get a multi-million dollar settlement
for her divorce. But then she's been talking this whole time about how she hasn't gotten a dime from her ex-husband in order to keep her son.
Right. So that's why, and when they said, oh, the three kids is the lie, she was like grimacing and she made a face, right? Yes, I literally thought like she was going to say, no, I do have other kids and they just are not here.
Yeah. I don't know if they were doing two lies and a truth. I don't know. That none of them understood. They both,
even the other one, I thought they were like, what is the lie? And I was like, okay, wait, they must be doing two lies and a truth because they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I think maybe they were too drunk because what's her name? Lisa says that she was a stripper, something else, and that she has her clitoris pierced. And then the clitoris pierced was the – She said that, oh, I slept with 10 guys or something like that. Like, okay, So maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, it's –
two lies and a truth is what they were playing. Two lies and
a truth is what they ended up playing because I was like, that's right. The Lisa Milan thing is the one that I was like, she wouldn't say that on TV. Why would she say that? That has to be a lie.
Yeah.
Even if it is true, if it was true, she wouldn't say that.
Yeah, so exactly. That
was weird. Yeah.
And then Nina Ali is the dullest person I've ever seen on television. I mean, you know who she reminds me of? In like the way in her mannerisms sometimes and the way she talks. I know you're not, maybe it's crazy. She kind of reminds me of Kathy Waqili.
Really?
Yeah. In just how dull she is, but she really thinks like she's trying. Like she really
Kathy
thinks.
Kathy rode a bike to sell her cannolis. No.
Right. At least Kathy did that. Yeah. Nina's not even baking or anything.
Yeah.
I think she's so dull. She's so boring.
She is.
But the queen of the show is obviously Chanel Ayan. And apparently currently the queen of making her rounds all over all of the housewives and showing up at Teresa's wedding.
I was so surprised to see her in Teresa's wedding pictures. I was like, oh, look at that. Our little Chanel made it in there. Did she bring her a goat? I want to know if she gifted Teresa
a goat. What did you give Teresa?
What do you give a woman who has everything? Give her a goat.
But Chanel and Stanberry have this like fight at the end of it, but it's just them being drunk, I think, and not listening to each other and talking over each
other. I actually think Stanberry and Chanel could get along very well because Chanel has this self-deprecating way of talking that is very similar to what Stanberry does. And Chanel can entertain Stanberry enough for Stanberry to like her. Because Stanberry is looking for is entertainment from everybody else, right?
Exactly. So
I think Stanberry doesn't seem to like her for some other reason. Something about her annoys her. And she just doesn't know what, and she is not talking to her. But I think Chanel is she's the nicest, and she's such an open book. When she has an issue, she addresses it right away. Yeah. She brings it up in a very nice manner. She tells people why something hurt her. When Caroline Brooks says, oh, take your tongue out of someone's Lisa's ass. And she's like, But Chanel is also very literal. So she's like, but I've never done that. My tongue isn't there. And then, so she also, you know, talks to her very nicely, tells her why she's hurt, and makes up with her, and forgives whoever hurt her. She forgives them.
Exactly.
And she moves on. I actually love Chanel as a person, literally as a person, not even as on the show. And on the show, she's wild with her fashion and showing up and all the couture and walking through the souk in her big gown and sweeping it up. It's over the top looks, but the person inside is pretty genuine. That's what I like about her.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't understand what the issue is. Like, I don't think that Nina should be on the show because she's very boring. Like, I think that if they were to revamp this group, either I need Nina to give me more information about her, or I need Sarah to give me more information. And I thought it was interesting that Sarah, when she goes and wears a wetsuit, Caroline says, well, you're not allowed, right? You're not allowed to wear. And Sarah says, yeah, I'm not allowed. But then in confessional, she's like, oh, you know, a typical Emirati woman, most of us are conservative and we wear this because we want to. It's a choice. And there's a lot of Emirati women who wear what they want. They would wear a bathing suit, but it's my choice. But it's not her choice because the way that she was talking about it with Stanberry, I was like, you're a phony and you're a liar and we really need you to show up with who you are. Because again, Sarah Almadani was engaged to an Italian actor who is in like softcore porn and we're supposed to just talk about how you used to sell scrunchies or whatever when you were 14? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, thank
you. There's a lot of fakeness and she walks a very tight line. And I'd like to know that line. If you are truly a rebel, tell me your constraints. Yeah. Tell me what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do and how you're still rebelling. You're not done rebelling. That's the point.
Yeah.
And you're still rebelling and you are hiding behind therapy and all of this to sort of justify what you're doing and empower. You're basically trying to, you know, empower yourself. That's what you're doing. And you're not there yet. So shut up.
Yeah.
You're not there yet. You cannot be giving advice.
Yeah. Well, any other thoughts about these Dubai and Beverly Hills ladies?
I just want a meeting of Karen from Potomac and Chanel Ayan. And I want cameras there.
Yeah.
I want them to go for dinner or for drinks or work at the farm, Karen's farm. I want Chanel to visit Karen at the farm.
Because Chanel's going to be like, I also come from a farm.
I know.
I also she would have a family that
milking the goats and farming.
Oh my God. They would have so much fun together. She's still in America.
They would have so much fun.
I should just go. I should go to Bergen County, find Chanel, hanging out with Jennifer Aiden, and be like, listen, Chanel, listen, I have a word in with the people, and what the people want is for you to go to Potomac, Maryland, and hang out with Karen.
Right.
Please. Right. Please, I beg of you.
Awesome. I think even if Dubai gets canceled, I wouldn't care, actually. I don't care. Lisa Milan, I like her, but I'm not compelled to watch her.
Yeah.
The only person that I'm compelled to watch is Chanel Ayan. And if she has a show by herself, I would watch that too.
Yeah, I agree.
I would truly watch Chanel Ayan as a, you know, only show. And I think that Bravo is realizing that Stanberry was their star going in, but Chanel is the star going out. And I hope they put a lot of effort in keeping Chanel here.
Yeah.
He will be the bigger draw at BravoCon for sure.
I hope she stays here for that. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here. But listen, can you come back so we can talk about Married to Medicine?
Yes, please. I have a lot of thoughts.
Oh, my God.
I have so many thoughts. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's right. It's so much. That's why we love Married to Medicine, because everybody's wrong and everybody's right.
Okay, I'll ask you. Why is
the word? But, okay.
Why is Eugene so mad?
Oh,
you think it's the menopause again?
It could be, but it's also that I think Eugene is trying to build back wealth.
Yes.
From what he was. I think the bankruptcy and all of that was a big hit on his ego, and it was very embarrassing. He handled it well on camera, but I think that's an embarrassment that he's trying to put behind him.
Mm-hmm. And the way for him to build wealth was to flip the house. When he found an opportunity to make wealth, get some wealth, he did. So he sees it as a smart move that he made to, you know, create wealth for his family. And having Anila's husband, what's his name again?
Karen.
Karen come and mock it is very hurtful to Eugene.
Yeah, but then talk about it, Eugene. Talk about it. Then talk about it, Eugene. Yes, tell us.
Eugene is not quite, and we call him Eugene, but Eugene is not really the kind that wants, he doesn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to talk about the bankruptcy either. He was open about it, but the wealth building, he's proud of it, and he just doesn't want to talk about it so much. He does talk about flipping the house, and they do mention it once or twice that he like she's now gotten a flipping the house bugs, and now she wants to flip this house too, and she wants to flip another house, which is fine. I think Eugene struggles with Toya Income Destroyer, as Lori Conlon says.
Yes.
And Lori, she calls her Toya Income Destroyer. But Eugene has a real struggle with Toya, and he's doing the best he can. Now, I have to say that Karen and Anila might come from some family wealth, some protection, some security that they can lean on. They have generationally, they might have been middle class. That gives you some security, but Eugene might not have come from that. So for Eugene to have this wealth, he may be the first in his generation to have this wealth. To have it then almost lose all of it, but then come back from it, is something that he's working towards. He doesn't have the privilege of having been in a good starting point to begin with. So he, for him, the struggle is real. For Karen and Anila, they may not notice that. They may not notice because they may pay for their house and they overpaid. Who overpays for the decorations in their house by over $1 million?
Yeah.
Their budget exceeded and doubled and exceeded and went over $3 million. That was just for renovations and building the house. So that disposable cash that is sitting for Eugene. Eugene is trying to dig himself out of the financial mess.
You're right.
So for him, it's a very sensitive topic. And for Anila and Karen too, they don't realize it. That's why they're not putting themselves in Eugene's shoe. They don't know why Eugene is mad because they don't realize his struggle. So they're just making fun of mocking him for moving houses and moving away from them.
Yeah.
And that is hurtful for Eugene.
Yeah. But then again, Eugene, you need to talk about it. Okay.
I think he might. He might in the future. He might at the reunion. He might be saving it up for your reunion. But I'm also mad at Anila and Toya, pitting their husbands against each other. Leave Eugene alone. But also, I think Karen is another one that is trying to get more involved. Like last season, he wasn't comfortable with the camera. This season, he seems to be very comfortable with the camera and getting involved.
Well, I think it's fine that the husbands are going for each other. But like, you know, and like Daddy Damon said, all you guys and your wives made fun of me and my wife. Everybody said so many things about me.
I know. Daddy Damon can be my ER doctor any day. He's so calming.
Yeah, but I would be like, I need you to like pep it up. Like I would be like, I'm gonna die because
I'm gonna
this
die
man
while
is
you, while you are talking, you're giving instruction to the nurse because you're so calm.
Sir, hold off on the Bible verses. I'm dying right now. All right.
Yeah, well, I know. But I have thoughts about Heavenly and also about Jackie and all of them. But
great. Well, then come back next Wednesday. Talk to me about it.
Save them.
Okay. We'll talk to you then.
Ivan.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The reality is now on Patreon, and here are some of our fabulous supporters. Cassidy Davis.
Don't be fooled by my name. The only thing I abstain from is your bullshit.
Jessica Riley.
Where I come from, money can buy you anything, but I'll take the garbage plate.
Seiran Hayati.
In Sweden, we have ABBA, IKEA, and if you mess with me, some other four-letter words.
Kelly Payfer.
I may be from down under, but don't ever underestimate me.
Richie D.
If you can't be cool, you can't be with Caduce.
Megan Shaw.
I may be a model, but I'll never be your model minority.
Becca Simon.
It gets icy where I'm from, so you know I'll bring the heat.
Jill Hirsch.
Your petty drama can't take this warrior down.
Jamie Allrunner.
Where I come from, we're known for our Great Lakes, but I'm just known for my great ass.
Sarah Gibbs.
You may not like the cut of my jib, but that's what you get from Sarah Gibbs.
Maria M.
Where I'm from, they sing God Save the Queen, so I guess you can call me a god.
Jill Walsh.
I made it up this hill myself, and I'll kick any jack off.
Jesse Willis.
I may not run in traffic, but I'll give you a run for your money.
Eleanor Manning.
I run with a fabulous circle of people, and they're not even on my payroll.
John Friedman.
Diamonds aren't a girl's best friend.
John Friedman is.
Sarah Watkins Bilstein.
Playtime is over.
This mama means business.
Laura Zielinski.
Whether it's breast pumping or fist pumping, this Jersey girl brings the party.
Amanda Agosti.
Everything is bigger in Texas, and my heart is no exception.
Tracy Masters.
When you're the master of your own destiny, no one can ever take you down.
Marl Farsi.
Reading is fundamental, and in Farsi, the reads are monumental.
Tracy Newman.
My presence is a gift, so remember the thank you note.
Lola Del Rio.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. And I get it all.
Ade Adedoko.
It may look like I'm stirring the pot, but I'm actually just smoking it.
Deepa Kanapali.
Some people say I have secrets, but at least they're not federal indictments.
Jada.
People are intimidated by my great success and my great ass.
Naveen Jonathan.
I'll give you the shirt off my back and also my unsolicited opinion.
Adil Ibrahim.
Some things are too hot to handle, like me and the tea I spill.
Srinidhi Subramaniam.
I have 4 degrees and 8 syllables and 0 fucks to give.
Beth Bayer.
The secret to my success is staying out of your BS.
Shannon Anthony.
There's no fun in moderation, but there's plenty of shame.
Rita Ryan.
Don't be fooled by my Midwest charm, because I'm nobody's fool.
Brianna Tony.
Some people strive for perfection, but I'm already there.
And lastly, Tanisha.
While others are turning tables, I'm dancing on them.